Hi, everyone. Welcome to another amazing, award-winning episode of Cosmos with Cosmos. As always, I'm Mike.
I'm Liz.
And that's all we got.
Yay.
That's it. Brandon's gone. He's out.
You can find Brandon in episodes of The Shot with Cosmos with Cosmos up every other Wednesday on YouTube.
Yeah, and we just recorded some more.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, today we're talking about astronomy misconceptions. So misconceptions in astronomy.
Things you think you know, but you don't know.
Yeah. Or things that you believe.
And believe that are not correct.
Yeah.
Or just stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, to make this interesting, of course, we're going to have drinks.
Yes.
So, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Retrograde Paloma.
You had to think about it again, didn't you?
Yeah, how I was going to, was it Paloma in Retrograde, Retrograde Paloma?
Yeah, Retrograde Paloma again.
Yeah, yeah. Because it went forward into the drink and then backwards out of the drink and into my tummy.
Into your tummy.
And we will discuss retrograde motion in planets and how it doesn't mean anything personal to you.
Doesn't mean a damn thing. But you're giving that away.
I know. Well, I mean, if people know, if they know this show and they know me, they know that if we're talking astronomy bullshit, then I'm going to go on a rant about astrology at some point. So,
yes,
stick around.
And in case you're wondering what is in a Paloma.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. It is grapefruit juice.
Tequila. Tequila, lime juice, and a little hint of sugar.
Ooh.
Oh, and also you top it off with Sprite.
Ooh, yes. Okay, thank you. I couldn't remember if it was vodka or tequila.
Yeah, no, it was tequila. And the orange slice that is garnishing, which will make it an appearance later on.
Ooh, it will. It's going to do a demonstration.
Liz is going to do a demonstration. We're going to move everything from beneath the microphone because, well, she's a Davison.
It'll be fine.
But anyway,
I better not drink it all then before we get there.
Those oranges have been soaking into tequila for 2 or 3 weeks now?
Not that long. But anyway,
it's at least 2 weeks.
They're heavily tequila soaked.
It's at least 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's at least
what
2 weeks.
What is time? Okay. All right. So that's what I'm drinking. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a hummingbird has no feet.
A hummingbird has no feet.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. At some point, maybe. Follow us on all the things. Twitter, Drinking Cosmos, and Instagram, Cosmos with Cosmos.
Everything else,
Cosmos everything else Cosmos. Is Cosmos with Cosmos. But Twitter has to be different. Drinking Cosmos. So follow us, rate us on all the things.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget to join us for the hangout. The hangover is the hangover.
I mean, every time. Just say it right.
No, because it works on you.
The hangover with Cosmos with Cosmos, where we just spiral into a downward spiral.
All right, and make your way, after the podcast, of course, make your way over to Etsy and check out Katie. Was it Wildixia?
Wildixia! Wildixia at Etsy. Incredible artist. Buy her shit.
Yeah, and I was the first person to buy her
stuff. You were. Oh, in fact, that the skull painting that we bought. I was going to see if one of the frames we have works for it.
Oh, okay. And Ron.
YouTube link for Ron Proctor. Yes. Check it out in the description.
Yes, there you go. Sorry, my brain just.
It's fine.
I'm thinner.
You okay?
Skull?
You needed that nap.
I needed a nap. And you've already promoted the shot, so we have a few
few rules
to go over. If there's a puppy bark, I am expecting a Amazon package today.
Oh boy.
So
and they go nuts.
Yeah, they're gonna go nuts. And so maybe that's a misconception that our dogs won't bark at the Amazon person. And
we know he's going to bark.
Well, so I know, but we're going to prove that misconception wrong today.
Oh,
hopefully, if the Amazon person shows up.
Okay.
Any kind of Star Wars reference, any Lord of the Rings reference.
Yeah, when we get all nerdy, take a drink.
This whole thing is nerdy.
Okay, well.
So, all right, so let's start. Let's start with some misconceptions, and we'll start closer to home.
How close?
Well, right here.
Oh, we're gonna, on it.
On it.
Okay.
We're on it.
On the earth.
On the earth. So, our first misconception is California's cooler. So,
this is an inside joke that's irrelevant.
Yeah. We were looking up just places, and we were asking what the temperature is in July for those places, and it was always like 1,000 degrees, and so
yeah.
California is not cooler.
I think that it should be, you rephrase it as Northern California is cooler, because Northern California is not always cooler.
That's true.
Because Southern California is known for being hot.
Yeah, and Northern California, anywhere where we look, at least today, was not cooler.
It's pretty hot, very cool. Yeah. All right, so...
But speaking of cooler in July, let's talk about seasons.
Yeah, seasons.
So, there is a misconception out in the world that the seasons are caused by the distance from the Earth to the sun. And I get that.
I mean, it makes sense. If you just kind of think about it.
Yeah, it's extremely... It's very
logical.
It's
like logical. When you go towards a fire. The closer you get to it, the hotter it feels.
And when you are further away...
Yeah, the colder you feel.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, this is incorrect.
Yes.
Yeah.
When it goes to the Earth-Sun system.
Yeah. So, the Earth at its closest point to the sun is about 92 million miles. And when we're the furthest away, we're about 94 million miles away from the sun. We are the closest to the sun.
When we're furthest away.
In July.
Okay.
And we...
Wait, what I just said doesn't make sense. And I haven't had any drink today.
All right. When we are closest to the sun, 92 million miles away, that is in the month of January. Just a few days after the new year.
Okay.
And in July is actually when we're the furthest away.
And we're the warmest.
And that is when we are the warmest. So, it has nothing to do with, there you go.
Ah,
damn it. Thank you, Katie.
Damn it.
Thank you. Yes.
All right.
We got fact checked.
I guess I was under the misconception.
Yes. Well done. Well done. So, it really has nothing to do with how far or close away we are from the sun.
Yes.
That 2 million miles really doesn't affect the weather that much. It has to do with the tilt of the Earth. So, in January, for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, we are tilted away from the sun. And so, we do not receive as much direct sunlight. And so, it is cooler. It's colder for us here in the Northern Hemisphere. While we are experiencing less direct sunlight, people down in the Southern Hemisphere... they're tilted towards the sun and they get more direct sunlight. The sun is higher in their sky and it is warmer for them. And then we make our way around the sun and come to July, we're tilted towards the sun more. And for us here in the Northern Hemisphere,
it's hot.
It is hot. Especially Northern California, apparently. Really, really hot. And so, yeah, it has to do with the tilt and not how far away. We are, but it makes logical sense that it is because closer for the way.
But, how can, you know, the North Pole be so cold in the summer? How can Alaska still be pretty chilly in the summer?
Well, the sun is really low in the sky.
Because, I would say, because Earth's round. So that means there's less surface area that's closer to the sun, whereas in Northern California, you know, in California, you're on a part of the Earth's surface where more surface area is getting that sunlight, and then the curve away can keep then, I guess it would be curved this way if you're the sun, would keep the northernmost latitudes cooler.
Yeah, or you can think about that the light is spread out over more of an area up at the North Pole.
That's a... much simpler and better explanation than whatever the hell I was trying to.
And so it makes it, it doesn't warm up as much. I mean, Alaska still gets warm.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can do water sports.
Yeah.
You go see those whales.
In the summertime.
The whales want to go up there because the water gets warmer and they can have their babies.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? So the seasons, I get it. It's logical.
Yeah, it's a...
But this next one... Not so much.
Oh.
Don't get it. We even dedicated a whole podcast to it.
We did.
We still don't understand it, but the earth is not flat, everybody. The earth is round. We don't understand people believing this shit.
Like, we know. We have pictures of it.
We have what?
We have pictures of it. Not just from, like, you know, the ISS or something, or the moon even. We have pictures of it from Saturn, from, you know, Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
We can see it.
Yeah, we can definitely see that it's round. There's pictures of the Earth and the moon together. Mm-hmm. Not many. I think there's maybe a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows that it is round. It is not flat, everybody.
No.
But if you do want to learn more about why it is not flat, you can watch our previous podcast.
Yes.
So, you know, promoting.
Thank you for cutting me off there, because, man, I was really about to get into it with the flat earthers, but...
Oh, you still can. Or do you want to save it for astrology? Save it.
I mean, I was just going to say that if the earth is flat, then 100% by now, there would be some sort of wall or whatever around it that we've built, or like a fence or something, just for our own protection, to as like, hey, here's where the edge is. Don't sail off it.
Yeah, but, you know, somebody also would have just climbed that wall.
Yeah, and people would go to it. You could go to it. It's not going to be... I mean, how many cruises would there be to the edge of the earth?
Let's go to the wall.
Take a cruise to the edge of the earth.
Go to the wall.
Go by a little bit of Alaska, you know, see some
islands. Oh, but see, Alaska is in the middle of this disc.
Oh.
It is Antarctica that's at the edges.
Right.
And so, go to Antarctica, see the wall on the edge of the world. It's so stupid. It's all wrong. All right, so let's leave Earth.
Okay.
Let's leave Earth.
Let's get out of here.
I mean, we'll come back to the Earth with astrology. But let's leave Earth. Let's go to our closest neighbor in space.
Oh, our best friend.
only what, 250,000 miles away?
That's it. Pretty close.
It's relatively close. Yeah. Kind of a small little guy.
Uh-huh.
It is the moon. Our closest neighbor in space.
It is us and we are it.
What?
It is us and we are it.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know.
there's quite a few misconceptions.
Yes, the first one is a doozy. It's a very common...
Yeah. By the way, these really... This was stream of consciousness when I wrote these things down. All right. So, and then I had to, like, actually kind of organize it a bit. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is amazing.
Yes, Pink Floyd's amazing. They have The Dark Side of the Moon, their album. Great album. Beautiful album.
Yes,
makes great laser show material.
However.
I don't know what it was like prior to Pink Floyd, but after that album, it seems like people say, you know, the far side of the moon is the dark side of the moon. Like, the far side of the moon never gets any sunlight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not true. The far side of the moon actually gets sunlight.
Mm-hmm. It's just as the same.
Yeah,
the near side.
It gets daytime and nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And the near side of the moon, the same side of the moon always faces the Earth. We're going to actually talk about that here in a moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With a little help of a little bit of an orange, a slice, and a paloma.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hold on to your seats.
Yeah, there might be a spill.
Katie, don't go ahead in our notes. Anyway.
We need to call that out real quick. I mean, I can move that up. But anyway, so the moon has the near side, which always faces the eyes, faces us, and then it has the far side.
Yes. We can't see it.
Yeah, we can't see
it. Well, we can, but we have to send us a spacecraft over there.
In fact, the first time that we saw it was in the late 50s, early 60s, maybe, when we did send a spacecraft to the far side of the moon to actually see it and photograph it. And the pictures were shocking to astronomers. To the rest of the world, no, but to astronomers, it
was like, wait a minute, this.
Something's fishy like here. But anyway, that far side of the moon actually gets daylight as well. I mean, the day on one day on the moon is what, roughly 28 days?
Or a month?
A month. Yes. So you see where we get month from. Mm-hmm. All right, so that means that daytime on the near side is 14 days, day side on the mm-hmm. far side is 14 mm-hmm. days. And so, long time in sunlight, long time mm-hmm. in darkness.
And why? Because it's tidally locked.
It is tidally locked. We'll show you that here in a moment.
Okay, how long until we get there? Oh, until there. I gotcha. With this one?
Yeah, there we go. So, okay. All right. Yeah, third one down.
Okay.
Do you want to rearrange them? Let's rearrange them.
No, we don't have to.
All right, so the moon is tidally locked. And what, because it is tidally locked, the same side always faces mm-hmm. us, which leads some people to believe
yes.
that it doesn't rotate.
But it does rotate.
It does rotate. And now we are going to move the iPad over. I am going to grab my drink here. I'm going to hold okay. it.
All right. For those of you listening.
Do you want to use this one? Because it actually has a nice big Blockbuster.
Yeah, all right. All right. We'll promote Blockbuster, too. Go to the last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon. Give them some support. All right. So, you see the Blockbuster logo. And for those of you listening, I'm holding a cup with a Blockbuster logo. And the microphone that is in between us is the Earth.
The Earth.
Now, normally the Earth would be rotating, but we don't have a way to manually just make our microphone rotate. So, it will be stationary.
They start with it here so they can actually see the logo.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. So, basically, as this is gonna be weird. The moon orbits the Earth, it rotates at the same rate that the Earth rotates. So, in that sense, we only see, we only see that one side.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
as it's going, it is actually rotating around
right.
as the Earth is.
So what the moon rotates
at the same rate
that it takes to go around the
Earth. That it takes to go around the Earth.
Yeah, and so whereas we see, so as you can see,
I did not spill.
She did not spill. When the moon is over here, you can see the Blockbuster logo, and when it is on the other side, you cannot see the Blockbuster logo.
So in contrast, if the moon did not rotate, then, I don't know how to describe this to those of you listening, but if it didn't rotate, then you would basically kind of always be able to see that, that Blockbuster logo is not going to move.
Right. I mean,
if you're at one point, say you're at Mars looking at Earth, and that Blockbuster logo is facing you when the moon is in between the Earth and the sun.
Okay, hold on. Let's just do this.
Okay, you take it away. I'm trying to over-explain it.
The moon, if the moon did not rotate, we would actually see all sides of the moon
as
it goes around the Earth.
Thank you.
But that is if it doesn't rotate.
Yeah.
But since it does rotate, but it's also tidally locked, so we only see the same side.
Yeah.
You know what else is like that? It is Pluto and Charon. They're tidally locked.
Yeah.
And so
they're like a binary dwarf system.
Yeah. Basically. Not only are they tidally locked, but if you're standing on Pluto, on the surface of Pluto, and Charon is directly overhead, it is always directly overhead. You walk around to the other side of Pluto, they're tidally locked together. Both of them are tidally locked.
So then you would never see, if you're on the other side, you would never see it.
And then you go around the horizon, like,
holy
shit.
Oh my god.
What's that big fucking thing?
What is that? Imagine being a species that live, like, just on the one side of Pluto and, like, came up from underground or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, what a shocker. What a shocker.
So that's kind of cool. But the moon does rotate. It's just that it rotates, the amount of time it takes to rotate is the same amount of time it takes to go on the Earth.
Yeah.
Easy enough.
Unless I'm talking about it, and then It's a complicated mess of jargon. Onward and upward.
Yeah, but you know it. So, yeah. You know. We'll go up one and then we'll dip.
Oh, okay.
So, because we skipped this one. Oh. The moon is larger at the horizon.
Oh, yeah. When the moon looks like a giant. When it's on the horizon and it's like, damn.
We got big moon.
That's a big moon.
Yeah, it's the same size on the horizon as it is everywhere else, and so it is.
Yeah, I don't know how to verbalize my knowledge.
And you can prove this one of two ways. You got two ways in which you can do this. So I will leave it up to you. Liz is demonstrating one, and for those that are just listening, she has her arm out with the thumb up, and so if you go out. And when the moon is on the horizon, just put your thumb over it and notice how big it is relative to your thumb and then wait a few hours when the moon is higher up in the sky and do the same thing and you'll find it's the same size.
It's the same size. It's an optical illusion.
And it's just the way that your brain is interpreting it.
Yeah. And isn't that because the atmosphere is thicker on the horizon, so the light gets bent more, and so it just makes the moon kind of appear distorts.
It,
like how you're looking through, you know, when you're in a pool and you look through and your feet like look like huge.
I got you. No, it does distort it, but not to the size that our brain sees. It's actually all in your brain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the way that
your brain really interprets. Can never trust yourself.
Yeah, so it's the way that your brain interprets when it's on the horizon. It's comparing it
to the like whatever's on your horizon. Like
houses
and so it's and like trees. It's gotta be bigger. It's gotta be bigger than that.
So your brain knows that the moon is further away because of millions of years of evolution. So it knows that it's further out there, and it interprets it that it's bigger. So the second way in which you can see that the moon
is...
If your thumbs are unavailable, stand on your head. I know that you might...
Seems a lot harder.
That's why the thumb...
Seems like a leap of options.
But if you want to stand on your head,
All right.
You want to do a headstand...
all you yogis out there.
Yeah, the moon will snap into the right size.
Okay, that's actually cool. Now I kind of want to try it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I don't know. Next time there's a full moon,
we can see it on the horizon.
I will hold your legs up, and you can.
We'll just go do headstands out at that, like.
In the park.
Yeah. Or out by the cows where we can.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all these people are like, "What the hell are they doing?" All right. So, continuing on with the moon. We got three more for the moon. The moon can't be seen during the daytime.
Who believes that? Because you can.
Yeah, there's only one day. There are 2 days that you cannot see the moon during the daytime. That is on the full moon when it rises when the sun sets. And then the other time is on the new moon when it is hanging out with the sun. And
not literally.
Yeah, and so you won't be able to see it during the daytime. But pretty much every other time.
I like seeing the moon during the daytime. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yep, it's kind of cool. If you don't believe me, just go out first and third quarter. I don't know when those are. We just had a full moon, right?
Yes, yeah. And then an eclipse. We just had an eclipse, too.
Right, and it was cloudy last Sunday. So today would be the third quarter. So if you want, go out. Around, I don't know. Right, go out. Let me think about this.
Oh, you gotta do the moon math.
I have to visualize it in my head. go out right after sunrise, and the moon will be up. So,
actually,
might be up right now. Actually, might be able to do it right now.
Well, check it out.
But anyway, So yes, the moon can be seen during the daytime. Here's one of my favorites.
This one's a classic.
We've already had it in the chat.
This is for you, Adam.
The moon is made out of cheese or green cheese.
Why green cheese?
I don't know.
Is there green cheese?
And I mean, if you're going to say cheese, at this point, you might as well say Swiss cheese.
Hey, well, that's what I think it is. It's Swiss cheese because of the craters.
Yeah, but Swiss cheese isn't green. And this is probably some friggin' American that came out with this.
Oh, the moldy cheese. Oh, maybe that's what they mean. Like,
they're like, green cheese, we ain't calling it no Swiss cheese. This is American moon. It's not Swiss moon.
It's a freedom moon. Yeah, it's not made of cheese. I mean, I wish it was. Can you get moon cheese, maybe? I mean, it could be good. If goat really cheese good. Is good, then moon cheese is
good. I'd be there right now eating it.
Exactly. But no, it's made of a lot of the same stuff as the earth, but then some stuff that's not of the earth. And so that basically provided the data for the whole giant impact theory of how the moon formed with Mars-sized objects smacking into us, breaking apart little pieces of each other, and coming together as one, besties for life.
Until we're not.
Well, it is moving away. Yeah. It's moving away slowly, like 3 inches a year or some shit like that. I mean, it's trying to escape. But it can't outrun the sun.
And, you know, I have to stop here for a sec. Adam brings up the rabbit.
The rabbit in the moon!
I cannot see the man in the moon. I see the rabbit in the moon. I've always seen the rabbit in the moon. You got the head, the two ears, big old body.
Got a little fluffy tail.
So,
Yeah. And, in India as well. India, they have a rabbit in the moon story. And
oh, yeah. It's a great story.
Which I believe Brandon did on maybe our last... At Moon Lake.
Oh, it's one of the shots, right? And he did it
as a shot episode. Yes. I think he did it as a shot episode. So check those out.
I think that was, we were trying to figure out the constellation one that he did the other day. That's the one that he did.
Oh, that is the one that he did.
Yeah. With the Barum that he did, which we don't need to take a drink for that, but that's
Lord of the Rings.
That's Lord of the Rings, yeah. So with Treebeard.
But yeah, a lot of people saw the bunny.
And for my last one for the moon. If you think that the moon has no gravity, then I encourage you to watch some of the Apollo video of the astronauts be bopping around on
the moon. Coming back down after they jump in the air.
Yeah. Exactly.
Slower, yes. Less gravity.
Yeah. So there's even video of an astronaut, I can't remember who, dropping a feather and like a hammer. Mm-hmm. And they both fell. The moon has gravity. Some people think it's gravity doesn't exist.
I think because maybe people have the, like, kind of this misconception or of an understanding that, like, our atmosphere somehow is, like, adding to that, or that's what keeps everything, our atmosphere keeps everything inside of it, rather than it's, you know, the pull of the center of mass of the Earth on everything, you know? And so since the moon doesn't have an atmosphere... then it seems you're exposed to space, and so it seems like, you know, you wouldn't you wouldn't have gravity. But in fact, you out there, I'm talking to you. No, the person behind you. You have your own gravity.
I have more than you guys have.
I mean, everything that has mass has gravity. So, like, our gravities are like, hey, right now. But, you know, compared to something like a planet or a star, our gravity is just so inconsequential that we don't feel that effect of our own gravity. Like, we can't feel that.
Right.
At all. But, yeah, everything has gravity that has mass.
In fact, so, two things. Like, if we're out in space, and we're just floating out in space, which is probably where no gravity comes from. But if we, given time, we would just move towards each other.
Oh, well, that's reassuring if you ever are in a situation with somebody where you are kind of out in space, you know. But at least you're like, hey, I mean, eventually, we can hang on to each other.
It might take a while. It will take a while, but...
Or, say they have a full oxygen tank that they're not using anymore, and you have a limited supply, eventually you'll get to it.
Eventually,
it just depends on...
You better hope that...
Oh, you can use the rest of your oxygen to propel yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But gravity can do the work for you.
Yes.
And in all seriousness, it is actually one of the methods in which NASA and other people will consider, like, if they discover an asteroid that in a long time from now is going to hit the Earth, you actually shoot a rocket to it.
And use its gravity
to pull it off. Because all you need is for it to miss Earth by, what is it, 7 minutes? And
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And so.
Why is it always 7 minutes? 7 minutes of terror on Mars? 7 minutes of extinction doom on Earth?
I don't know.
Lucky number seven.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
So let's move away. Let's move away from
get out of here, moon.
Earth moon. And let's just make our way to just one quick thing for a planet, one planet in particular.
Ah, yes.
What planet is it?
Jupiter.
So there is a misconception and when I put it in the notes, Liz read it today and it sparked a conversation. It was poor note writing on my part.
I thought I fell into this misconception. And then I had this misconception. I was like, oh no!
The misconception is, if Jupiter were a little larger, it would be a star. which is not correct. But there's a real nuance to this.
Yes. It has to do with your word choice.
Yes. So... if Jupiter were a little larger in radius, it would be a star, is the misconception. But the reality is, if Jupiter were a little larger in mass, about 85 times larger, sounds like a lot. It's really not a lot in the universe.
Yeah.
It would be a star.
Yes.
So the truth is...
So it's not the size, and it doesn't... You go for it.
Yeah, so the truth is that if it was larger in... mass, it would be a star. The interesting thing about it, though, is that if you increase the mass, you increase the gravity, and what it does is it compresses that gas a little bit more. So actually, this Jupiter star
would be smaller in size.
Be smaller in size than Saturn, actually.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there's nuance to that one.
Yeah.
And Liz pointed out my poor word choice.
Yeah, because I was like, no. And then he's like, oh, massive. And I was like, yes, massive is not size. So, okay.
All right. This one, I think, is just funny, but I get it. The Egyptians believe this.
Common with children.
Yeah, but the Egyptians also believe this. The sun disappears at night.
Maybe we were still developing our object permanence.
Maybe, but the world was quote unquote a much smaller place then.
That's very true.
And so, yes. You know.
Yes. But they developed our 30-day month and
our calendar,
and they figured out how to use the night sky and the motions of the sun and the planets and the seasons to flourish as a civilization for 5,000 years.
Yeah, all while believing that the sun disappeared at night.
They're like, oh.
Yep.
We don't know where it went, but it just...
Oh, no, they had a story.
Oh, they had a story. They of course story. They had a story.
They had a story. So, was it Ra, the sun god, was swallowed by the goddess Nut.
Oh, that's right.
Spelled nut, but Nut.
Nut.
And
she turned me into a Nut.
So, Ra has to go through Nut's body. And along the way, he has to fight the snake god Apophis.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, he wins every night.
Yes.
But the Egyptians were never so sure that he was going to win. But he
did have faith in your boy. Jeez.
Well, you know, Apophis is also, you know, that's big fucking snake. You know, you would think that Apophis would eventually go, okay, we gotta figure out a way. Meet this guy.
Dude.
Man, I wanna go.
I gotta go like Elden Ring, man. Can we not do this tonight? Can we? Look, why don't we split it, all right? Yeah. Let's split it.
Yeah.
You can take these hours. I'll take these hours.
Let's do it, because we're Elden Ringing.
I just don't want to go through this. It's just for eternity, forever.
Yeah. But, you know, Ra always won.
Of course he did.
So the sun always rose in the morning. Yeah. But,
what would have happened if the sun didn't rise?
Oh, man, there would be all kinds of...
I mean, all kind of we clearly would have been extinct, but...
Oh, shit, there's another one that I just thought of.
Oh, go for it. Yes, improv.
All right, so this one actually has religious roots.
Oh, it's always fun.
Yeah, okay, basically, the sun disappears. It rises. Basically, the earth is spinning, so the sun rises, makes way across the sky, mm-hmm. and sets. Mm-hmm. We're just in the shadow, but eventually the earth spins back around, and we see the sunrise.
It's like when you're on a merry-go-round and you know your parents are like, yay, waving to you, and you go around and then they're gone and you're like, oh boy, and you come back around and then they're like, yay.
Yep, pretty much. Okay. That's exactly it. So I study physics, right?
Yes, you're fancy physics man. We all know this.
And so I went to Clemson University. When it was announced in my family that I was going into physics, two things happened.
Oh.
One, a aunt of mine, who was about 8,000 years old, came up to me and said, we could use another physician in the family. And I was just like, I'm not going to be a fucking doctor. I can't get you the meds you need right now. So... And I won't be able to do that. Different type of...
Different physics.
But not too long after that, I received an email from my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And the email was all about how NASA had proven that the Earth stood... basically, the sun stood still for like an hour in the sky. So there's some story. Mm-hmm. It was a big debate in my head if I should actually if I should actually tell my grandmother, hey, it's not right. If I wanted to launch a spacecraft to Jupiter, I don't need to know where Jupiter was 5,000 years ago to do it. Last year will work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Last year and today. That'll work. All right, so just about? A few more. Just we're going to move on to stars now.
Stars!
Yeah, just a few. One is that all stars explode. They all go boom. All go boom.
I wish they all went boom.
They don't. It's only the big ones.
Only the real big ones.
Only the ones that are much bigger than our sun will go boom. Our sun will just kind of off its outer atmosphere. Yeah, pretty much. it's like Jack peeing on a walk. It's one of those like
silent, slow farts that just kind of drift out.
Yeah. Wow, we've evolved.
Future of our sun, everyone. A slow, silent fart.
Yeah. Going right along with that, stars don't live forever.
They don't. They gotta...
They do appear eternal. In fact, we see the same stars that those Egyptians saw that we were talking about. But they don't live forever. Oh. Our sun lives for about... drift out. What is it? Like 10 billion years? 10 billion years
is about halfway through its life right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is because of fuel. I mean, they're powered by an energy source. By fuel, basically, and eventually they're gonna burn it all up.
Yeah. So they don't live forever. Massive stars live for a very short amount of time.
Just like how SUVs run out of gas quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the smaller stars, which are like Priuses, they can go on for a very long time.
A lot longer, not forever.
And stars don't fall when you're looking up at the night sky.
No, those aren't stars.
Yeah, so you see those nice little streaks of light that just blaze across. Then we call them shooting stars, but they aren't stars at all. They're little grains of basically leftover comet dust.
Sometimes it can be like from a meteor, or an asteroid,
then it can also be space junk.
That's true.
Flecks of paint or something.
Coming in. Through. Yeah, so it's not, and it's a good thing it's not stars, because we'd be dead.
Yeah, I know, right? And then finally, Polaris is not the brightest star in the sky.
Oh, but it tells you where North is. It's gotta be the brightest. It's gotta be the most easiest one to spot to guide our way home.
Yes, no, it is special because of its location.
Yes.
Which is really close to the
North Celestial Pole.
Right, and so our pole, the Earth's pole, is basically pointing to it.
It's you done with NCP?
Yeah. That actually deserves a drink. Are you down with NCP?
Oh, yay, drink! Oh.
We don't ever do that, do we? Dink?
We don't.
Okay,
it's
all
because we just recorded the shots episode yesterday. That now I'm accustomed to toasting.
And finally, we come to what we've all waited for.
Astrology is fucking real.
Liz, I yield the floor to you.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I didn't realize actually this much pressure was going to be on me, but there is no possible way that the position of the planets, the sun, and the stars in the sky have anything to do with your personal life.
No.
These are inanimate objects that are just operating on the mechanics of physics. Stop. just stop. The reason that, you know, Mercury is in Taurus is because all of the zodiac constellations fall along what's known as the ecliptic, which is the plane of our solar system that is projected on the sky that we
use.
That's the plane of the solar system. And so it just happens that because the planets are also in the plane of the solar system, the moon as well, Pluto, although off it a bit, but has a little bit of a higher, more tilt off of it. But they basically go along the same path throughout the sky, and through that path, there are constellations that we see up there as well. And so, throughout time, early people that observed and used the motions of the stars and the planets on the sky to help understand the world around them, you know, to tell time, and basically was used to support their livelihood, because it can help track seasons and when to plant crops and when to do all that good stuff. And so these constellations that they would use to help track time using the moon and the sun and the planets. And so these constellations that these objects travel through then began to incorporate more special meaning and serve more purpose. And so, and become associated with more of a mythological ideology, you know. And so you get astrology that kind of is trying to turn like the myths into science, but there's no basis, there's no backing there.
And I give the early astrologers credit for trying to.
They were trying to make it like fit in a scientific way
with
these zodiac signs and everything.
But we quickly moved out of that. And also, you say it's Gemini season now. Well,
but yeah. That's only now. It wouldn't have been.
Yeah, it is. They're off by a constellation now, right?
They're off by a constellation. So, Earth, yeah, as the stars aren't always. Well, their lives are much longer than our entire civilization. You know, we see the same stars. They haven't always been in the same location in the sky because the Earth wobbles as it rotates, kind of like a top that's winding down
and
starts to wobble around. And so one complete wobble is
like 26,000
years. Yeah. So over a period of a few thousand years, that effect becomes noticeable in the sky. So, for example, I was born in September. I'm apparently a Virgo.
I'm a Cancer.
Meaning I'm like a perfectionist and I like things clean, and only half of that is kind of true. God damn it, Katie, get out of here.
You have to say what she said.
She said a Virgo would make that argument. True to form. But if I was born, you know, in ancient Egypt, I wouldn't have necessarily been born a Virgo, so to speak.
You would have been
like a Leo or something.
You wouldn't have. You know, because the Earth wobbles, the North Star for the Egyptians was
not
like
Polaris.
Thuban. It wasn't even.
It wasn't a visible.
Oh, Thuban is. Yeah, okay. But
Thuban's in the Little Dipper, right?
No, I think it's in Draco.
Oh, Thuban's in Draco. Yeah, what am I thinking? But in 12,000 years from now, Vega.
Yep.
That will be the closest star to the North Celestial Pole, and that will be a very bright star. But it will actually be far enough away from the North Celestial Pole that through the evening, you'll see it.
Oh, you'll see it.
You'll see it do a little circle.
A little circle.
In the sky.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Right?
And Vega is in the constellation of Lyra.
Like I say, Vegas. Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Something to look forward to. I can't wait
to
see that.
I know. Oh, another thing to note about these zodiac signs. There's not only 12.
No, there's 13.
There's 13. The 13th one is Ophiuchus, but really, who wants to be an Ophiuchus? What are you, man?
Well, he's a snake charmer. Isn't he a snake charmer?
He is the snake charmer.
And isn't he the dude, like, that did medicine and shit?
Yes, he's actually the, he is the Roman version of the Greek healer Asclepius.
Mm.
And Asclepius is, like, what you see with the snake and the staff for medicine. That's, like, that's him, basically. This constellation of Ophiuchus counts as a zodiac constellation because part of the constellation is in the ecliptic. So the sun, the moon, the planets will travel through Ophiuchus, basically, in between, on its journey from Scorpius into Sagittarius.
Right.
It goes through Ophiuchus's leg.
Yeah, you know, I think that the next time something is in Ophiuchus, we call up, like, a astrologer.
Oh, God, Mars is in Ophiuchus!
What the fuck?
What's happening?
What does this mean?
That happened when Trump was elected.
It's just, Mars just stopped in the sky and just hung out. And,
yeah, oh, where's Mars? What zodiac's Mars in? Ophiuchus, what is that demonic bullshit?
Oh, my God.
Case in point. Oh, and we didn't mention retrograde motion. Now. So retrograde motion is something that I get really confused about. I can't remember how it works. And I always have a misconception that, like, Mercury and Venus don't go into retrograde motion. But
Because it's inside the orbit of the Earth.
It's inside the orbit of the Earth, yes. But they do retrograde motion. They just don't do it in the same way that the outer planets do it with.
Yeah.
And basically what this retrograde motion is, which has nothing to do with how the month is going for you. Mercury's in retrograde right now, and I'm really feeling it.
That's actually really...
basically,
caveat, though. Let's just tell them this. that the planets are always moving in the same direction around the sun. I thought you were just going to.
No. So, yes, the planets orbit the sun counterclockwise, because that's the direction our solar nebula, or the nebula that formed our solar system, was spinning as everything kind of condensed down into what we know of as today. So they're all going in the same direction, but we have a perspective from the planet Earth. And so we're looking at, when we're looking at the planets in the sky, we see their motion, their orbits, their orbital motion around the sun, but based on where the planet is in its solar system, they're either orbiting the sun in less amount of time than us, or more amount of time than us if they're farther away. So the outer planets
take longer, yeah.
Yes.
So they're moving slower than we are.
So we're all moving at the same speed. So imagine...
No, we're not moving
the
same
speed. I'm not the same speed, but in the same...
Direction.
The same direction. Yep. But say, like, then my analogy might be bad, but say you're driving on the freeway.
No, you're going to be spot on.
Okay, so you're driving on the freeway, all right, and a car passes by you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you almost feel sometimes like you are moving backwards.
Right.
To that car that is going past you. And so when we're looking at the orbits of the planets in the sky, sometimes we see them move backwards in the sky. Or some of the outer planets will make kind of a loop-de-loop in the sky and move backwards. But they're not really moving backwards. No, it's just our positioning and our perspective and who's moving past who in their orbits.
Right. So the Earth is moving faster than Mars.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to change your...
Oh, yeah. We're going, hi, Mars. Goodbye.
So I'm just going to change Liz's analogy was spot on. The Earth is moving faster, so we're in the fast car.
I have the knowledge. I don't know how to verbalize it.
I know you do. I know you have the knowledge, and you verbalized it. So I'm going to put us in the fast car.
Oh, that's more appropriate.
And so we're in the fast car, and Mars is the slow car, and it just appears that Mars is moving backwards. By the way, theory of relativity, special theory of relativity. Einstein basically uses this with trains to prove a point for relativity.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so we're on the faster track. And so we're looking at Mars and we're going in the same direction, but then we kind of catch up to it.
Yeah,
and
we're
it looks
race
like
you
it's
for
going
your pink
backwards.
Slips, Mars.
It looks like it goes backwards and does this little loopy loop. So I think the reason why you think that you have a hard time thinking about Mercury and Venus is because when we talk about retrograde motion, it's always in relation to the outer planets, Mars out to Neptune.
Yeah, and us passing them by.
Yeah.
And then it's just a different...
Yeah. And we
it's
never...
It's a different, like, side, like...
Yeah, we never, ever talk about it with regards to Mercury and Venus. Or I should say that we rarely do.
Yeah.
And basically, so Mercury and Venus are on the inside track, and they're following the sun. And they will move away from the sun, but at some point in their orbit...
They come back around.
Yeah.
And then that's when we see them...
See them go backwards.
Yeah.
In our sky.
Yeah, from our perspective. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I've had. But retrograde motion doesn't... It doesn't... It's... No. Stop.
Yeah, it means nothing. And from a physics point of view...
It means a lot.
Well, yeah. But from a physics point of view for astrology is that if you say astrology is real and you say that the planets are impacting our lives, then that means that Jupiter, we'll say, or no, let's say Mars, is constantly streaming out subatomic particles that interact with us. So if you're an astrologer, you have to prove that. You have to prove what the particles are and how they interact with us. And they can't do it because it's all bullshit. It's a nice little tiny column in a newspaper Which used to be a physical thing.
Yeah, it's fun to read.
Yeah, but it's also, so vaguely written.
Also, like, don't look at which one you're reading and just assume it's all for whatever your sign is and read it.
Yeah, they all apply to you. You're going
to relate to all of it because it's so generic and vague that your brain goes, okay, I'm going to cherry pick what works for me and what I want to hear. And
you can look at any of these and go, okay, all right, yeah. You know? Like it'll say, like, oh, you're going to come into money. You might, I don't know, get 10 cents off something.
And then if you see a dime on this floor, you're like,
hey, I got me some money.
Validation.
I came in with some money. But, I can buy a house.
You know, whatever makes you happy. You can believe what you want to believe. Just, you know, like.
Yeah, it's like religion. Whatever you choose to get you through today. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is that astrology does not impact you. Jupiter doesn't give a fuck about you.
No, because it doesn't have a brain. It's a planet. It's made of gases and with some rocky core, and it would kill you instantly if you tried to say hello up close and personal. It really does not. Yeah. It's not friendly. None of the planets are friendly. None of the planets are hospitable.
They're beautiful.
They're gorgeous. Oh, my God.
But
deadly.
Juno. The Juno spacecraft that Jupiter... Mm-hmm. Just
artwork.
Incredible artwork. It really is. In fact, Juno is a spacecraft of Jupiter right now, and it takes these amazing pictures of the atmosphere of Jupiter. And in fact, NASA is freely, I mean, they do it anyway, but they freely disseminate the...
Well, they have to because we pay for it.
Yeah, so...
Tax dollars.
Are your tax dollars pay for it,
you
so...
You get NASA pictures for free.
So you get the NASA pictures for free.
Good deal.
Interestingly enough, it's free for the world and not just the U.S.
Okay, but, well, whatever.
Okay, no, I personally believe that it should be free for the world.
Oh, no, I believe that too.
I know you do. But NASA it gives out the imagery, but they also go, they tell you to, if you download some imagery, like the raw imagery, to make it artistic.
Yeah, you can download the raw imagery and you can colorize it and you can really just kind of go wild with it.
Yeah, so, but it is just incredible artwork.
I think we're heading into like hangover territory with this.
Yeah, so, that's the end of, our episode. We've looked at some of the misconceptions when we come back for the hangover. See, you thought I was going to hang out. When we come back for the hangover, I'll tell you about my drink, which is Hummingbird Have No Feet.
Oh my God, I forgot about your drink name.
I knew that it wasn't going to show up in the first part.
Okay, all right. Well,
Anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we don't know what the topic will be, but it will be the start of Pride Month, so maybe we go in that direction somehow. Okay. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We like to leave it a mystery.
What?
We like to leave it a mystery until the very last moment.
Because that's when we figure it out. We figure it out, like, this Saturday before.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.